Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show, and we're going to get started here in just 1 second. Tonight, taking a bit of a break, I should introduce myself. I'm the pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Taking a break from painting, I've got a couple cool guests on tonight for you. Okay, so tonight's show, we've got two fabulous, fantastic actors on, Mr. Derek Babb and Lauren Jean Mamert. I'm probably saying that wrong, Lori James.
It's Lara Jean Mamert.
Mamert, okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Just goes to show how unsophisticated I am tonight. Crazy. So you guys met. We had last month. We were supposed to do this last month, but, you know, busy actors and schedules and all this and that. You guys met on the set of an upcoming indie psychological thriller crime movie feature film called Payday. Did you guys know each other before that project?
No, that was met on set.
Nice.
Yeah, we met on set. Yeah, sorry.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Now I know you guys, we have links up to your guys' Internet Movie Database pages. And for those who don't know, outside of the biz, so to speak, and by biz, I mean showbiz, Internet Movie Database is kind of it's a cool site. It's kind of a resume almost for people in filmmaking. And it has links to movies and actors and filmmakers and whatnot. Now, looking at both of you guys' pages, I mean, you guys have been in quite a lot of stuff. Let's start one at a time. Laura Jean, how long have you been acting? Have you been acting since you were a little girl, or how did you get into it?
I originally started when I was really young. I actually got into musical theater and dance, and I was studying ballet. So I was a ballerina for many years, and then I decided to move out to New York City, and at that point, I had studied acting and dance for many years, and when I got out to New York City, I started pursuing acting full-time and ended up becoming a theater actor for a while in New York, and I was doing kind of off-Broadway and Broadway stuff, and I ended up touring and touring with Sesame Street and all that stuff, and being an actor, singer, dancer. So I'm considered like what the performer, the theater world would be, is a triple threat. And then I decided a close friend of mine passed away like 3 or 4 years ago. And that actually made the decision to drop theater for a while and go film full time. And loved it and been doing it ever since. So yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, that's very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So how about you, Derek? Were you a youngster when you got into it, or how did all that come about?
Yeah, I was pretty young. My story's not quite as prestigious as that. I didn't start as a ballerina, but I started doing theater I wear them sometimes, but that's it. It's just for myself. No, I started doing theater. I was like 5 or 6 years old. I did Music Man, and I played Winthrop. Mm-hmm. And kind of after that, I was all about it. But I was raised in Arkansas, so there wasn't a lot of film work there. So I moved to Austin, Texas, like about 8 or 9 years ago and started doing film and commercial work after that. And I've been doing it ever since.
Nice. No, I'm seeing on your internet movie, Fort Smith, Arkansas. Believe it or not, I have relatives in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I haven't been there in a
No way. That's crazy.
Yeah, small world, small world. And Laura Jean, you were in raised up in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, I was. My family, they have actually been in San Francisco for a long time. I think they're like fourth generation back, you know, and they've been here for a while. Yeah, ever since, you know, even I guess it goes back to the gold rush, who knows. But, yeah, and then I ended up, I was the first one out of, you know, all my cousins and my family to leave. And leave at, you know, at such a young age, you know, I was, I think, like 16.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Let me ask you guys. Now, I grew up, my mother was, I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. I paint pictures of people. My mother was an artist, a professional artist, a portrait painter. But she passed away when I was very young. And my father was not into the arts at all. I mean, he could appreciate stuff, I guess, but that really wasn't his thing. Did you guys have familiar support when you said, hey, man, this acting, this is what I want to be doing? I mean, was everybody like, oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, here you go. Here's some money. Work out. Or was it a little different?
I guess for me, since I'm the lady, I'll go first, Derek.
Absolutely. Ladies first. I insist.
I guess for me, I guess I was lucky in the sense where my family was really involved in the arts themselves, and they tried to be there and support me, and my sister is a dancer in Los Angeles, and she's a teacher in Los Angeles, so she also grew up in the art world. But even though my family had a love for art, they weren't artists themselves. You know, my dad is a musician, but it's not his full-time job. So I guess in that sense, they wanted their kids to have what they didn't have. So they are very supportive of it. You know, every now and then, I guess now that I'm a little older, they do have now more than ever the conversation with me of, do you really want to do this still? Do you want to go back to school and do engineering or, you know, go into law, you know. You know, I actually just recently I had a conversation like that with my mom. She's like, you know, you can go back to school if you want. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't change this for the world.
Yeah, I hear you. I remember when I graduated art school, my father called me and he said, hey, I saw it in the want ads in Detroit. And I was in Boston at the time. He said, they need a court sketch room artist. I think that would be something you could do. You could do your draw. And I'm like, Dad, I've just got a master's in fine art. I'm not going to. Thank you.
Yeah, that's not very artistically fulfilling.
Yeah.
Right. Drawing people yelling at each other. No, how about you, Derek? Growing up, did you come from an artsy, fartsy family? Or what did they think about this acting thing you were doing?
So definitely not really artsy fartsy. My mom, she painted when she was younger. Never like professionally. She was good, and her dad was really good. She was more encouraging of it than my dad was. My mom, I don't think she expected it to become like really what I wanted to do, but she was like, oh, cool, yeah, you know, do some theater. And then when I was like, no, this is what I want to do, she was like, oh, okay. And my dad was, he was actually the opposite. He was like, no, you should be an engineer. Like, it's funny that Laura used that example, because that was legitimately my dad's, like, plan. And so then, you know, eventually they both came around. My mom, before my dad, she saw one of my plays and she was like, oh, okay, Derek, yeah, you should do this. And my dad was like, oh, well, but engineering though. And I think after he saw like a couple of films, and he was like, he resigned himself to the fact that this was the pursuit that I was going to follow. So, you know, everybody's on board now. So that's good.
That's awesome.
My father, believe it or not, they were forced to be.
That's the way to do it. You got to show. No, I was going to say, my father, believe it or not, you're going to laugh at this, was an engineer.
Nice. Yeah.
There you go.
Every artist's parents wants them to be an engineer.
I'm telling you, it's hilarious. Matter of fact, my girlfriend Dani, her parents, my father passed away a couple years ago. Her dad's become my go-to dad figure. You know, when I can't figure out something to do with the house or something. You know, what I mean? When I need some advice. And he's an engineer as well. As is her sister. We're surrounded by engineers. It's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. But that's good. That's a good thing, you know. Those are the people that buy art, so I can't complain. And go see movies. So that's cool. So you guys started doing this, and, it's interesting. I'm looking at your, like I said, we have links, ladies and gentlemen, to both Derek and Laura Jean's Internet Movie Database page. And, man, you guys have been in a lot of stuff. Do you guys just – I'm not sure how this works. Like I said, I'm not in that business. But do you guys just get, like, a ton of scripts sent to you, and you say, yeah, I want to do this, or no, I don't think I'll do that, or
I would love that.
I just like, here are all the scripts.
Like,
you choose all the ones you want.
Yeah, it would be fantastic if it was like that. But no, it's definitely not like that. For me, at least, I don't know. Derek,
no, me neither. I'm not there yet.
One day we will be, Derek, and we'll laugh at this interview. We'll be like, yes, we got there.
Right.
I guess like the film industry is definitely filled with personal and impersonal auditions and audition after audition after audition. And most of the time, I don't know, I'm speaking for myself, lately it's been very impersonal. You know, it's like my manager will send me a link, you know, will send me this thing like, oh, so-and-so needs you to record a video and send it in, and you have, you know, like 5 hours to do it, and you do it and you send it in and you hope that you get something back, but there's no,
right, like,
you don't, yeah, go ahead, Derek.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, like, I mean, any response back, really, because, you know, sometimes you'll get a call back and you're like, oh, sweet, you know, I'm moving on to the next round of things. And sometimes you just don't hear anything at all. And it's like, you know, you'll wait like 2 weeks or something. And it's the question of, is it still on the table or is this off? And so it's kind of just like a waiting game at that point. And really it's trying to forget about those so you can focus on whatever else.
Right.
Because you can't, you know, you can't get caught up thinking about like, oh, is this happening? Is this not happening? Because you never know. It's so,
exactly.
So like,
and it's usually when you forget. It's usually when you like,
right.
you forget about it that you actually hear about it. Like a perfect example,
right.
For me would be today I got an email for a feature, a callback for a feature, and I literally sent in an audition probably like 2.5 months ago, completely forgot about it. And then they send me an email today to come and meet them in like 2 days, you know? So like, okay.
Nice.
It, you know, it's, so when it happens, they want things immediately when it does. So you just have to like, you have to not think about it, and you have to keep the positive energy out there and the positivity,
right.
As me and Derek
positivity.
Would say.
Positivity.
Shout out to Tiffany and Colton, if you're listening. And you know, you kind of just have to keep going and keep at it, and you kind of just have to, you know, keep meeting people, keep having meetings, pushing yourself to do every audition as good as the last one, and then hopefully you just get stuff. And luckily, me and Derek have gotten things, you know, because you know what, there are a lot of people out there that don't even have as much as we have, but I can say for myself, like, I don't even think that's enough. I don't even think I'm not even close to where I want to be. And,
right.
You know, it's just kind of got to keep going, you know? Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah. It's,
for sure.
Well, you know, it seems that one of the things I think I find interesting is, of course, you know, my only experience with this is movies I've seen and, you know, the actor – going to all these auditions and having to rush across town. We live in an age now, though, where it seems that some of the tools may make that a little easier. I'm not sure. But you had mentioned, like, you'll get word, okay, make a video of this. And you can kind of do that from wherever you're at, right? I mean, with your phone or a laptop or something.
For sure.
Just record it.
I don't know. Derek doesn't think I can, but I can.
Laura has a specific way of filming her taped auditions. That's very unique.
Oh, really? Well, you have to tell us, Laura. You have to tell us.
Yeah.
I let Derek tell you.
Okay, Derek.
So,
let us know.
Well,
yeah, Derek, you tell them. It's more funny.
We actually, like, we kind of discovered this while we were on sex. We were talking. It was me and Laura and Tiffany talking about it. And we were talking about taped auditions. And usually what I'll do is find, like, a cinematographer friend of mine and be like, hey, man, you know, would you shoot this for me? And you know, like, go to their place or whatever, set up some lights and do that. And Laura was like, you guys do that? You guys, like, set up lights and stuff? And I was like, yeah, do you not? And she's like, no, I book everything, like, off my computer. And so she just, like, will sit in front of her computer and do, like, all of her lines and not have anybody reading with her sometimes. And that's how good she is she still books stuff. I couldn't do that. I have to have all of the things to make me look really good or else I would totally fail.
Derek needs one of those clackers that says, take such and such and down, right?
Make your beautiful ballerina body look good, you know? Like.
Right. Yeah, I don't have that ballerina body, so maybe that's what I need to work on. And then I can just take my auditions from my computer.
My goal, I'm going to say, James, my goal is to get Derek to a point where he's also taping his auditions through his computer.
From my computer. That's my goal, too. I want to get there also.
Think of all the time you'll save. You'll never have to leave the house.
Exactly.
He'll be, before you're done with him, he'll be making him on flights. Now, speaking of flights, Derek, you just got back from somewhere. You were you on doing another film, or what was the, dealio? Where were you at, dude?
So, I was in L.A., I went there for a couple of things. So, there was a film that I did that was shown at a film festival there. So I went to Palm Springs and went to the screening, and then I was supposed to meet up with a friend of mine, a director that I worked with a while ago, who had some, like, basically a project he wants to talk to me about and kind of just catching up. But he actually had to bounce out of town, so I didn't get to do that. What's that?
This past weekend you were in Palm Springs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just got back.
And you didn't melt. Wasn't it like 125 degrees or something like that in Palm Springs?
Oh, yeah, no, it was so hot. And if you see me right now, like, I burnt really badly. So I kind of did melt a little bit. The last day I was there, I spent way too much time at the beach and no sunscreen, and that was incredibly smart. I'm wearing a shirt that's, like, reddish right now, and it matches, my skin tone matches.
Oh.
That's why I chose this. So.
Oh, man. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Napa Know How. The Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How. Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
And remember, folks, when you order from Metal Babe Mayhem, use my code POPROCKS, P-O-P-R-O-X-X, and you get 20% off your order. I mean, how cool is that? Fantastic. Fantastic deal. Remember, POPROCKS. It's my code. Use it when you check out with your order from Metal Babe Mayhem. Cool, cool stuff.
Rocksgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products. All featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Oh, man. Well, so that's pretty cool. You're out there for a film festival and whatnot. That's I went to my first film festival about 10 years ago. I think it was 2005, maybe a little over 10 years ago, in San Diego. They hired me to paint some people there, and I had never been to anything like that, and I was just blown away. Again, I'm a movie guy, meaning I like to watch movies a lot, but I find all of it very exciting, you know, all the stuff. But a few times I've been on sets of independent films and whatnot, you know, I geek out. I'm like, wow, this is cool, you know. I'm that guy. But, you know, for you guys, it's like a Tuesday, you know what I mean? You guys do this kind of stuff all the time. I think it's very neat. One of the things about the film festivals I always found interesting is just the amount of people and the networking opportunities. I mean, there's a ton of people in that business hanging out looking to do things, you know?
For sure. Absolutely. That's one thing that's interesting. Oh, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, go ahead. I went through on my first one, a couple boxes of business cards, you know, just passing them out to everybody.
Right.
Now, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying that it's interesting, too, in different communities. Because, so, for instance, in Austin, there's a lot of, like, you'll, you know, get cast on something. And every time that whenever I look at a call sheet, I just, like, run through it real quick and see. Because chances are there's going to be at least, like, several crew people or several actors that I know. So it's really cool to sort of see, you know, see like the same people in this community that sort of, I guess, is they help each other out. And like you said, like the networking part of that, like you work with someone and you're like, oh man, this person's fun to work with. And they do really, really good, work. And then, you know, whenever you're going to set, that you're going to be working with someone that you can trust, and there's already like rapport that's built, and that they're going to do like an awesome job. So it's a cool part of it.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Now, do you probably do a lot of film festivals as well, Laura Jean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still fairly new, so I haven't gone to many. I will be honest with you there. I think it's also because the couple features that I have done have gone straight to DVD run and Amazon and iTunes and all that stuff. They decided not to do the festival route.
But that's okay. There's a lot of money doing that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it is. And I bet as an actor, you want to do the festivals. You know, you need to do the festivals because like Derek was talking about, you meet people, see your stuff, they see your work, they see what you can do. And right then and there, that's almost like your audition, you know, because there's writers and directors that are there, there's producers that are there. You want them to see you, and you want them to know that you're serious about your work. I know the few festivals I have done, that's what has happened. People have ended up contacting me and, have reached out to me because they saw, you know, a project or whatever. And, you know, there was this one, I got nominated for Best Actress, and it was really cool to go, and, you go, and there's a bunch of people there, and there's only like, two or three of us that got nominated. And, and because of that, I actually, those same girls, I'm working with them on another project at the end of the summer, because, we went to the festival all excited that we all got nominated, and one of the girls ended up winning, and she's absolutely fantastic and beautiful. But we all got along, and all the, there's a bunch of writers there that saw how much we got along and how much we loved each other. They're like, we need to do a project with all you three actresses. And so now that's happening, and it's so great. And just like Derek was saying, is, you go there and everyone is there for the same reason. Everyone is there because they want to be there and they want to do the best they can and they want to just do a good project. So then when you have this amazing conversation with someone, and then later on they're like, hey, you want to work on this project? You're like, heck yeah, definitely. I know that you're on the same mindset as me. And in this industry, that's who you want to work with. That's who you want to have around. So at the end of the day, I definitely want to keep doing as more festivals as possible, because that's how you meet really cool people.
That's very cool. Very cool. Well, you mentioned video on demand and whatnot, and that is such a big thing that seems to be that has developed, with streaming networks and whatnot, Amazon and the like. Always looking for new product and whatnot. It's interesting. Now, do you guys get, again, not trying to get into your business, and I don't want, to talk too much about money, but I'm just curious how that works. When somebody rents one of those or watches one of those movies, when I watch a movie on Amazon or Netflix or something, do you guys get some sort of residual from that, or are you guys out of it?
James, you're getting a little too much into our business right now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you.
I'm just curious on how that, because I don't know.
I guess again, it also depends on on who you are, how known you are. I was lucky for myself, where it depends on the crew, the amazing production crew that you're on, if they're willing to give you that in your contract. And I was lucky enough to get a percentage on my contract. So when you write your contract out, they're automatically going to go, so out of cast and crew and everyone, this is what we mathematically were able to figure out what would best be given to you. And you either accept it or you don't accept it and you ask for a different number or whatever. But, I was lucky enough where it was equal. It was equal to everyone that worked with the project. And I was like, heck yeah, I'll take it. Why not? And usually what happens is at the end of every year, at least for me, for the productions I work with, every year on rotation of the sales, I'll get a check sent to me. So at the end of the year, it's like, okay, this is how much, because it's the indie scene, it's not huge. So it's like, okay, at the end of the year, this is how much the sold, this is your percentage, this is how much you get. And then they send a check.
Yeah, but you can buy a new car then when that rolls in, right? So there you go.
Hopefully. I eventually would love to get a Tesla, so maybe one day.
Nice. What that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, is that watch more movies on Amazon and Netflix and independent film. You got to support it,
yes.
Not just at the film festival, but in general.
Specifically,
you know.
And buy DVDs.
To Jennifer. Buy to Jennifer.
Everybody.
That's right. Yeah. On Amazon, and also Red Clover on Amazon as well.
I don't know if I'm still getting checks from Red Clover. I did for a little bit. That was it was funny though, because you see those, like, you'll get a residual check. Like, I got once it went to DVD, you know. So I got like the daily rate for filming and stuff, and then once it went to DVD, there was like a residual check, and then those slowly get less and less until I think my last one was like maybe 62 cents. And I was like, wow, I'm going to buy some gum today.
What that means, Derek, is it's time to make another movie.
Right, exactly.
Start making them videos.
Can't live off those 62 cent checks forever.
No.
That's right.
Not here. Maybe in Thailand. Not here.
Right.
Well, you know, in all seriousness, though, I know there's a lot of people that listen to the show, and there's I'm telling you, either now or in the future, there's a lot of people listening that want to move to LA and become film stars. You know, they've got that dream,
Don't do it.
Well, what I was going to say is, it seems that there's a lot more to the business than just going to an audition and reading lines. You kind of have to know, or at least have somebody in your corner who does, about contracts and this and that, and what to sign and what to go with and whatnot. I mean, it like any business, you kind of have to know it, you know. It's in your best interest too, at least, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For anybody who's wanting to do that, I would say definitely like cut your teeth in a smaller market. Get stuff built up, you know, learn, make mistakes in a place where it's safe to. And and then, you know, and you're more apt to find work in a smaller market too, so you can learn sort of the ins and outs before you go to LA and possibly get swamped or overwhelmed with everything. So definitely good to sort of get your feet wet somewhere and then look at doing the move.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
I agree with Derek 100%. You just need, for anyone that's like older, you know, like in their teens, 20s, 30s, and is like, this is what I want to do. If you're not in it, you need to definitely dip your feet in like little small things, just to like be like, okay, I kind of need to figure it out. And ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And being self-employed isn't for everybody. I'm not discouraging people from doing something creative and trying to make a living at it,
but go be an engineer.
Yes.
Not really.
Health insurance is nice and a lot cheaper if your boss gives it to you. there's lots of things, you know, a steady paycheck, can help with, you know. It's
absolutely.
Believe me, getting a mortgage is a lot easier if you got a job, a steady
absolutely.
Job.
Or just develop a strong taste for ramen noodles. One of the
that's right.
Definitely. I will say, in New York, I didn't need to become a waitress, but I purposely became a waitress for like 5 months in like this small little section out of my time. Because I just wanted the free food that they give me every night. I was like, this is going to save me a lot of money. And I became friends with the chefs, and they would give me, like, multiple meals a night. So my fridge was just Thai food all the time. And I'd have my friends over, and I'd have so much, I could just give Thai food away. And I ended up saving so much money. But all my stuff smelled like Thai at the end of the day. I was like, oh, my clothes, I smell like Thai food all the day.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. What was the now we've all had we've all worked jobs and what What was the worst job you ever had? You know, now that you're a professional thespian, that you don't have to go back and do that terrible job. You know, when you have one of those days when you think, oh man, I don't want to do it, and then you think about that job and you're like, oh, I can do this, no problem. What do you think back on?
ladies first.
I honestly, I'm knock on wood, I haven't had a terrible, terrible job, and I think I guess the waitress thing was probably the closest, but I actually was getting something out of it. The only time at one point it became a terrible job is because I had a terrible experience, and that was it was my second day of training, and they made me carry this tray of beer to a table, and I you don't know me, but I'm like 4'11". I'm really tiny, and the tray was bigger than me. It was like 5 feet wide, and they have all this beer on the tray. And I walk up to the table, and as I walk up to the table, the beer spills all over this man, on his pants, his nice pants, and you know, silly me, my reaction immediately is to wipe it up. And I took the towel. I took my towel and immediately started patting his, area in his hand. And I was just so stressed. I was like, I gotta clean this beer off. And my manager was just like, Laura, stop! You're making a fool of yourself. And that is like the most embarrassing moment ever. The worst job moment ever.
Laura, just to clarify, what area are you talking about? I'm not clear.
His elbow, right?
On that.
His upper thigh.
Okay, his shoulder or something.
His upper thigh. And then, yeah, I guess like that was like probably the worst. But I ended up, I did that for 6 months and I got free Thai food and I ended up meeting Bruce Springsteen and then becoming a dancer for his concert. After that, because I was a, like waitress, and so because I was a dancer as well, I was always when I was in between jobs, I'm teaching master classes, dance master classes. That's my like go-to. So I never really had a terrible job. Unlike Derek, I think Derek has had to scrub toilets.
I never scrubbed toilets, but. I worked at so free creditreport.com, like that, the website.
Oh yeah,
that, they're like, yeah, you can get your, yeah. So, they're actually run by a subsidiary of Experian and,
okay.
What they don't really say in the commercials is whenever you do that, you put in your credit card. So like, you know, obviously you're going to get charged at some point, but it signs you up for like a monthly credit monitoring service. And so people, would have like 4 or 5 months of these charges on a card of theirs that they put in and they would be flipping the fuck out. And I was like 18 and I'm working in retention at this place. So I'm supposed to try to like convince these people to stay with us, and they're just livid, they're calling and they're like, "Why are you charging us money on my card? They're not authorized. I'm gonna blow you up." And I'm like, "Okay, that's cool, but you should stay with us though, because like credit monitoring is important." And it was really bad in retrospect, but like. At the same time, I was 18, so I kind of didn't give a shit. So they'd yell at me, and I'd be like, oh, my God, this guy just told me he was going to blow up this building. And, now I'd probably cry if I had to go there every day. But then I just kind of laughed about it.
Oh, man. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Record better audio anywhere with Motive Digital Microphones from Shure. Easy-to-use options like the MV88 plug directly into your phone or computer and include a free app. Create studio-quality sound for podcasts, music, and videos. Visit Shure.com to learn more.
You're a business owner.
Check.
You have business owner's insurance.
Check.
And 10 years ago, that went a bit enough. Today, small businesses are being targeted and taken down by hackers. Medical offices, consultants, CPAs, any business that's built success has everything to lose. You probably have cybersecurity installed on your computer.
Check.
But you probably don't have cyber insurance, coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Cyber Policy covers that gap. Cyberpolicy.com shops the leading cyber insurers to find you the right policy at the right price to avoid a catastrophe. Coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Get a custom quote today in just 4 minutes. And for a limited time, use the promo code BLOGTALK to get Norton's small business protection for up to 5 devices free when you sign up for cyber insurance. Plan, prevent, insure. Visit cyberpolicy.com. That's cyberpolicy.com.
Hey, everybody. Pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger paintings. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is... I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house, but it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have 4 or 5 per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal, but definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget. And, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now.
My worst, I worked for a couple years when I was in college. For a U-Haul place, believe it or not, one of these big U-Haul things. And it's, I hear your pain because it seemed like everybody, I was always on the phone, and everybody I talked to was having some kind of crisis. They were getting kicked out of their house, or they had to move their apartment, you know, or the truck broke down.
Right.
For some reason, it was all my fault. You know, like every day, it was just crisis after crisis.
Yeah.
And yeah, it would wear on me. And then just, you know, retail in general. You know, folks, I'm going to say this. You know, we all deal with retail situations. Try to be nice to those people.
Be nice to those people.
I think I'm overly nice at some point. I'm overly nice, but sometimes I scare them. You know, like, it's like, why is this girl being
They're
so
just not
nice
ready for it.
Me? No, never.
I hear you. I never understood. No, you had mentioned, Laura, you were a waitress, and I never understood why people. I worked in, you know, when I was in high school, I worked in a bunch of restaurants and stuff, and you know, carrying trays and all that, and dealing with people. But I never got why people were mean to waitstaff. I'm like, that's the stupidest thing in the world you can do.
For sure.
Well, that's because
don't
the reason they were mean to
food.
Them. Well, exactly. Well, the reason they were mean to them is because they didn't know the trick. Like me, I would always, like, you know, on the side, I'd just go up to my table and be like, hey, here's some hot fudge. Be nice to me. And I'd give them, like, a whole thing of fudge. So, like...
so
everyone
at every restaurant should have hot fudge in their pocket ready to give to them.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone is happier with chocolate all the time.
but
being serious, I think I don't know what it is. I mean, I guess in my experience, it was fun. It was a small, high end restaurant where, you know, our manager would play reggae music in the Thai restaurant, and we'd all like dance and have fun, and And I of course, had a blast and would be dancing and having fun. I would sit down at the table with the people and, like, chat with them and tell them my favorite meal. And I ate this yesterday, and I have this in my fridge. And I make jokes with them, and they love it. And I think what it is it's also the vibe of the waitresses, because I know there is one waitress that she'd always get a bad vibe back because she would come in with a terrible vibe because she hated it, because that's all she had.
Right.
And I feel like if you're going to pick a job, I know it's hard and we have to have our oddball jobs, absolutely, but you do get to pick it at the end of the day. And there are oddball
right.
jobs out there that are still interesting for you. And so I always try to tell people, I'm like, if you're really that miserable, I'm sure there is something else that will make you a little bit happier. And I being a waitress myself, I always tell other waitresses that I have, I'm like, why you don't need to be this upset today. You don't need to be this cold
right.
to the people you're serving. Like, because at the end of the day, everyone, we have to, just like a film project, everyone has to work together. If one person is off, the other person is obviously going to get off, you know, and like, you're just
right.
not going to have that. You're going to have negativity the whole time. So even if someone was being negative to me, if I had someone that was rough to me and like being rude to me, I would give like twice as much positivity back. And they would be forced
you just, like,
to
dump
like,
that chocolate
deal
on
with it. Yeah, they would
That's
be forced
right.
to deal with it. But you know, I have been told I have a lot more energy than most servers when I do serve. I just like people, I guess. Whatever.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, getting back to film, you two met on a film, Cuts Chase Productions film, Payday, which is in post-production now. It's not released yet, so we can't talk too much about the mechanics of it, the plot and synopsis and all that. But this is a psychological crime drama movie. Was that the first of that genre that you guys had worked on, or was that something you were looking to get into? You're like, hey, I want to do crime movies. Did it just kind of the planets were aligned in a certain way, and it kind of came about, everything was right for this project, for you guys to get involved with it?
I will say it was definitely the script, you know, when I
yeah,
read
for
the
sure.
script. Yeah, it was just, I don't think it was about the genre per se. It was definitely the story. It is an awesome story, and I was definitely on board once I read it. Props to who wrote it? Derek, what's his name?
Brent.
Oh,
I think it's Brent.
Brett.
Brett.
Yep.
Slabcheck. Is that right?
What's his last name?
Yep.
Okay.
Slabcheck. Yep.
I think it's Slabcheck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible
no,
script.
He is an amazing writer.
He's such a good writer.
He has a few other things that he's written, too, that are just phenomenal. And, like, just to get a chance to work on a script that he's written, I was just like, okay, I'm totally on board. And I obviously had to, you know, send in an audition, and it was a long process for me. But that's definitely one thing that, you know, I need to be in this project because the story was so good. And I think you had a podcast, James, with Tiffany Burfitt.
Yep,
she
absolutely.
Actually, yeah, and she was the one that actually reached out and told me a little bit about Chase and his production beforehand when we were all kind of in pre-production and they
yeah.
were trying to find their actors. And
what's
I think
funny
that,
is
I think
she brought right. everybody in.
Yeah, I think she brought Derek in too.
So she's with we're with the same agency here in Texas, and she had, I guess they were looking for, you know, actors to play Ben's role, and so she kind of sent it to my agent, and she was like, hey, do you know of anybody that might work for this? And so then, you know, I read just like a lot of times all you'll get for an audition is like one scene or a couple scenes. And so even from, you know, the scene that I auditioned with, I was like, man, this is awesome. And so I'd never worked on a film like this, like in that genre. And so that was really cool. And then, you know, when I booked it, Chase called and we were talking for a while and, you know, talking about film and stuff like that. And it's funny because I'm like super laid back all the time. And he thought I wasn't excited, but I was like so stoked. He's like, you're excited, right? And I was like, yeah, man. I'm like, I'm really excited. And for me, saying it like that is like, you know, I'm over the moon. But he thought, he was like, are you? And I'm like, no, like, seriously, I really am. Because I was really stoked about it. But it's just my personality. I'm just kind of like always a little, maybe too chill.
I got you. And Chase is not. He's not a. He's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. I don't want people to.
Yeah, no, he's awesome.
That.
Chase is
Chase
great.
He's very good, but he gets very excited and he's very demonstrative when he gets excited, and it's somewhat infectious too. One of the things about Chase that I've liked, I've known him for a while now, a few years, and had him on the show a few times, and that's actually how we met. And watch some of his movies and projects and this and that. And it's always, because I get a lot of independent filmmakers, and I'm not putting anybody down, but, you know, it's usually, well, okay, it's a zombie movie, you know, this is what we're doing. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, how original. No, I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying there's a lot of people making zombie movies.
Right, for sure.
And then Chase, I think the first one he sent me was a movie called Peyton's Choice about, you know, an interracial relationship and the drama-rama happening with this gal's family, you know, all the real heavy stuff, you know. And it's
right.
It was very refreshing, the projects that he does, because they're so outside of what it seems everybody else is doing. And,
right.
You know, that was very, very true. Now, and I imagine, I have not seen Peyton, like I said, it's still being, it's still in the oven being cooked. Being stirred, all the filming I believe is done on it. But that, as everybody in the business knows, that's just the first part. There's a lot
right.
of filming that has to happen.
For sure.
But that's cool. I imagine Payday is going to be like that. From what little I've seen and you know, saw and heard about, this is a pretty intense film as well. As far as like. Tapping into social issues and what have you.
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a very intense.
Mm.
Oh, sorry.
No, your
on
character. Oh, no problem. Oh, I was going to say, Derek, your character is a, and again, I don't want to give too much away from the film, kind of a bad guy, right? He's the star of the movie. But from his point of view, he thinks he's not a, would you say anti-hero, I guess would be the word? Nope, I think we lost.
I think we did lose him.
Well,
sorry.
Not
sorry.
A problem.
I was like doing a little photo shoot right before this, and they just came out to tell me that they were wrapping up. So No, we're good.
Oh, okay.
We're good. I just have to grab some clothes here in a minute. But what was the question? I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was saying in this movie, I don't want to give too much of it away, but your character that you play is kind of an anti-hero, right? He's kind of a bad guy. Was that hard to get into that type of character for you?
So really, I think it was it was more about finding what drove Ben to make the choices he made, right? Like,
okay.
You know, because he's it's kind of complex, and you know, like you said, we can't get into it too much, but he makes choices based on stuff that's you know, things that are pretty relatable, and then maybe gets in a little. Over his head, and then is doing what he can to maintain, you know, so it's not like he's necessarily like a bad guy. He's just made choices So it's about finding the motivation for him, you know, like what is it that's driving him to do this, as opposed to being like, oh, he's a, this type of person or, you know, anything like that.
Right. I hear you. Well, I was at a party a few weeks back and I was talking to somebody and we had an interesting conversation. They had, this person brought up, they said, you know, every villain, every bad person you see, the majority of them thinks from their perspective that they're in the right, you know,
for sure. Yeah.
Is good.
Yeah.
And that's something we don't, you know, in the world we live in, we're always like, oh, well, you know, this person's just a schmuck, you know, they're just a, and that may be true.
Well, yeah.
That may be true from our perspective.
I think, right. Exactly. I think that's what's important is finding what's human, especially if you're playing like a really villainous person, is finding the humanity in those people, you know, finding what it is that makes them decide to do what they're doing, as opposed to, because you can't, if you judge your character, then you've lost that character, right? Like,
yeah.
It's you're not going to ever, it's not going to be an interesting performance because it's going to be so one-sided to be
right.
That, like, twirling your mustache and, you know, like, laughing maniacally. It's not, there's
yeah.
Nothing human to that. And it's just one-dimensional. And so finding what it is that drives that person and finding the humanity in that person, even if it's, you know, kind of a, something that you could never necessarily see from your perspective, it's about finding that what their perspective is and kind of committing to that for, you know, for the character and for the role, so you actually, so you do it justice and it's not just this one-dimensional thing.
Exactly.
Now, how about you, Laura? Did you your character in the upcoming Payday movie, which, like I said, we don't want to give any of the plots away, but you played Andy Graham. Tell us a little bit about Andy.
Addie. Yeah, Addie Graham.
I got it right.
Yeah. Addie, yeah. I can't say too much either. But I will say I can't say anything at all.
Right.
but I honestly, Addie Graham is a girl that is really deeply confused and doesn't understand who she really wants to be. And she gets herself stuck into a situation trying to be somebody that she thinks she is. And some things happen between her and the people that she's around. And that's all I can say, you know, is it's like she just fights
gotcha.
With people constantly. And she
well,
has
I've never known
really
it.
Bad anxiety over it.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I've never known a gal to get that, you know, got into a bad situation. I'm kidding, of course. Not only women. That happens to everybody. Oh man, you know it's interesting. I like I said, I'm a big movie fan, and I was watching and reading a little bit about the upcoming Payday film, and I was. You know, you read a little bit about it and the basic plot outline and what have you, and you can't help but think, oh my gosh, I could see this happening unfolding on the news any day, you know, any
yeah.
right
tomorrow when I turn the news on, you know, and it's, I think it resonates, it uncomfortably resonates in that because these characters, this could kind of happen to people. You could see this happening to people. I know people this could happen to. That's cool to me. It gives a grittiness and a realism that I like, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool. But it takes good actors like yourself to make that happen, you know, to bring that script to life. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome too, especially when you get characters like this and you have a really fun cast, because then you really get to play each other. I know me and Sandra, who plays Katia. Katia or Katia? What is it?
Katia.
Katia. Sandra, such a cute soul, you know, she's such a beautiful girl. Shout out to you. Love you, girl. The one thing I loved on set, especially with my character and her character, is that there are some moments that we got to play even off filming, offset, where you know, and we would do this really nice exercise with each other, where if she needed to get somewhere and she needed me to give her, you know, like my character in order for her to be there, you know, we constantly do that for each other, you know, when we weren't filming. So I would give her, I would be talking to her as my character and vice versa. So then when Chase would say action, she was already there. She was already in her moment. And it's very lovely and it's very beautiful to have those moments with each other. There's just so much more respect. I know me and Sandra became very close because of that. And I remember it was so cute. You know, I'm talking to her as Addie. And for some, you know, she does her scene, and at the end of the scene, she comes up to me. She goes, "Laura, that was really creepy. The thing you said to me was completely true about my life." And I was just saying things, you know, I was just saying what I thought Addie would say to her, and it ended up being these things in reality that were true for her. And so I was able to get her in these beautiful moments. And you will be able to see it on camera, and I'm very excited for you to see her role because it's absolutely beautiful. But yeah, so that's what makes, when you have a good script and a good cast, you can definitely play like that. And I will say every one of these actors, cast and crew, like we're very, very open and willing to just let it all go and let the actors really just push each other. And it was really great.
It was
really
a great, it was a great team.
Yeah.
Just like everybody, everybody on the cast was amazing. Everybody on the crew was amazing. Chase, Anthony, Trevor.
Yeah. Shout out to Trevor. Anthony, Eric, Chase, like all everyone.
Yeah.
Like Samantha,
everyone
for getting everything together. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
My only hesitation was acting with that Colton Wheeler guy.
I'm
just kidding. No, Colton's amazing. We have a relationship where we just mess with each other all the time. I kind of wish that he had, he didn't get on the show, right? Like, he was filming or something?
He was filming, I believe, is what was going on. We'll have to get him on. We'll definitely have to get him on.
For sure. Yeah, no, that dude's incredible. He's, like, the biggest sweetheart ever, and you look at him, and he just looks like such a douchebag, and that's what he always plays, but...
He's like a grizzly bear when you look at him, but then you know, he's like Pooh Bear, and when he's on set, he's definitely like Pooh Bear. He's over there in the peanut butter jar.
Yeah,
he's
so nice to everybody. He's like giving everybody hugs and stuff, and then his characters, like the roles that he always plays, are these assholes. And so, like, you know, when you meet him, you're like, oh, no way that guy's going to be able to play that. And then he does it, and you're like, man, you're drawn from something. Like, somewhere in you, there's a douchebag. And you get it out on set so that you can be a sweetheart in real life.
Absolutely. He's probably just drawing like everyone does from, like, you know, like his ex, relationship, you know, like his ex-girlfriend or something, like how he feels.
he just channels that for the for the films.
Or his relationship with you,
right.
What's that?
I said, or his relationship. He channels his relationship with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. He just like draws on the stuff that we give each other.
Well, you know, it is interesting though, because you'll watch. I'll be watching something. I was watching. I don't know, an old CSI. I was flipping through. I was taking a lunch the other day. I was flipping through the TV, and I said, "Oh, I'll watch a CSI, you know, a crime show here." And I was looking at some of the actors, and I'm like, wow, you know, that guy is you, I wouldn't – if I saw that guy walking down the street, I wouldn't have pegged him for an actor. But the cool thing about film and television and all that and acting is, you know, it doesn't really matter what you look like because there's some role for you, you know, because it's,
right, yeah,
we're mimicking life,
different roles.
You know, and there's all types of people in life.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. If you're a you're wanting to get into acting, and you know, you have a big screen.
One person that.
What's your question?
Oh, I was
what's
just going to say.
Oh, one person that. Go ahead. I'll say mine in a second. I just wanted to like say another crew person that was amazing, and that's Steve-O, because he like
made shit happen. Steve-O.
That's one thing. Like he did effects and makeup and stuff, mm-hmm. and man,
he killed it.
He was doing makeup on me, and it was for, you know, like a little bit later in the film, so there are some things that have happened, and he got it done so quickly that I was like, there's no way that this is gonna look really good. And then I looked at it and I was like, holy shit. Like, that dude is a killer.
He's
amazing.
And in 2 seconds, like just like Derek was saying, like, I can vouch for that. Like, we were pressed for time at one point, and Chase was like, all right, you got, you know, 2 minutes. He literally set his clock and was done in, like, 1 minute, 30 seconds, with 30 seconds for Derek to just get in place. it was phenomenal. And this guy, he just rocked it.
And he's a sweetheart, too.
Yeah.
A bunch
is.
Of sweethearts,
I mean,
on this set.
Yeah, a lot of them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, it's cool to have this experience where you're creating, you know, art with people, you know, and bringing this to life and whatnot. That's awesome. You know, I mean, that doesn't happen every day. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, maybe it will. Maybe it'll start happening every day.
I guess it's like, it's lucky, right? It's lucky to be a part of something with such great people, great cast, great crew, great script. You know, it's for everything to just come together. It's very lucky, and knock on wood, I hope it continues for all of us artists out there. It continues, and, you know, to go back to, I think what your question was, how, you know, you can look at people and you don't assume that they're an actor, but they are. That's what's great about the film industry, is that it is giving jobs to everybody. They don't, even though you think they discriminate, in reality, they really try to give character to the people that you wouldn't assume. And that's what's so great. And usually the great projects do that. They try to bring in the people that you know, it's like, oh, we wouldn't assume that person would be that role, but wow, they're killing it. And I give a shout out to everyone out there that is willing to hire the people that they wouldn't assume, because it's the people that you don't assume that are going to give you everything. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm looking at the time, and it's about that time, and Brett's got to go get his jeans, you know.
I'm naked right now during this podcast. I figured that was the best way to do it. So
that's right.
It's a little awkward
Open
that
yourself.
I'm in my car in public, but it's fine.
It's fine.
You gotta do what you gotta do. I was comfortable.
It's hot.
Hope everybody
in
was on
we
board.
All understand.
It is.
It's like humidity. You gotta let it. You gotta release
yeah.
it.
Right.
That's right.
I just keep it released because I just don't wear clothes. So.
Yeah.
We have some of those people here in South Florida. They're all 70 years old, but no, I'm kidding.
That's my tribe. That's my tribe right there.
There you go. Sunscreen
you can
is very
always,
important.
You
very
can
important.
Always count on me and Derek to make you laugh. That's for sure.
Right, right.
That's
for sure.
Absolutely true. Absolutely
oh
true. Well, folks, that's going to I want to thank Derek and Laura for being on the show tonight and taking time out of their schedule and, you know, making me laugh. It's been a lot of fun tonight. You guys are awesome.
Of course. Thanks for having us on.
This show.
Yeah.
No, anytime. Yeah, but keep me in mind when you have projects you, you know, want to get the word out of. Whatever I can do to help, you know, we're here.
Nice.
Love to have
yeah,
you, either of you back anytime.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us tonight. Remember, this show will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms. Hey, we're even going to put it up on Pinterest. How about that? How about that?
What?
But also, it'll be up free on iTunes. And if you are listening to the show on iTunes in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor, hit that ratings and review. That puts us up at the top of the page, and our advertisers love that, and that makes my life oh so much easier.
What,
I really appreciate it. Say again?
I said,
No, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We will be back. What is tonight? Tonight's a Tuesday. So, yes, tomorrow night we'll be back. And I got a fantastic retro pop singer-songwriter that will be on tomorrow night with us. A lot of fun. So tune in for that. And we will see you then. Have a good night. Good night, Derek. Good night, Laura Jean. Have a great night.
Nice.
Good night, James.
Bye.
Thank you.
Woo, 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 woo. Wow, wow.
Austin, pop art painter Jamie Rocks' Pop Rocks radio talk show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.